Radio.
A conversation with Father Rob Galea at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
How are you feeling about being at the festival?
It's been great. I love being here. It's been a bit overwhelming, like just so much happening. How awesome, like all the workshops. I really wish I could sit on so many of the workshops.
Yeah.
But it's been really good, really good.
So where have you been in the lead up to this trip? Because I think I was following you on something social media and I think you've been all over the place.
So it's been a bit intense. I'm working in the parish. I was in America last week. And the week, about 3 weeks before that, I was in Europe. So it's just been busy tour schedule. And hopefully I'm home for about 2 months. That's the longest I've been home, like I think in 3 years. So it's going to be, I'm looking forward to that.
How hard is it? We've all got things that we balance in our lives. I've got a young family, so I have to be careful of not traveling too much and being away from them. You've got to balance, you know, this incredible gift that you have and what you do for young people, but you're also a priest in a parish.
That's right. So I do three things. I'm a priest working in a parish. So I work in the parish, but I'm sort of assistant supply priest. So I help out on weekends. And then I do, I work with our youth ministry, our stronger youth ministry, and I help out with that, run our diocesan youth ministry, help run that. And also I'm chaplain to 8,000 students in my parish.
Wow.
So I do a lot of work there whenever I'm around. Even though I travel so much, I'm 90% of the weekends I'm in the parish.
That's
so
good.
I went to America on the Sunday night. By the Saturday, the next day, next week, I was there for the Sunday masses again. So I do my best to always be there on the weekends. Mm.
We got to hear that really cool new version of Blessed Are the Merciful this morning, because that's not the Polish official version, but that's sort of a collaboration of all the English-speaking countries in the world. And you got to be a part of helping put that together. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I got approached by the World Youth Day Committee to actually sing on the official recording, and I'm looking forward to actually singing it at World Youth Day. I don't know if there's anyone here going to World Youth Day, but man, it's going to be awesome.
Wow.
And so I got to sing with international artists from America, from the UK, from Canada, and Australia. And we just got, we worked in different studios around the world and got to record this song. But the key was so low. So I'm singing like I just woke
in
up.
In your boots.
Yeah. But it was a good experience.
My diocesan administrator, because I don't have a bishop in Parramatta at the moment, his name is Father Peter Williams. And whenever I talk about something that you're doing or we're going to be at the same thing, he says, "Oh, Father Rob, I helped make him."
I think that's a fair statement. Father Peter Williams got me onto World Youth Day.
Yeah.
So he put me on that stage where I got to sing for the Pope, 500,000 people. I got to sing at the Stations of the Cross. And I think that's where everything took off for me. It was a life-changing experience being there, but also the after effects of that was incredible.
So how did that happen at the Sydney World Youth Day? How did they just find you from somewhere? Because, I mean, that's almost 10 years ago now.
So what happened was, at the time I was signed with a UK-based record company, and they got a hold of my CD, and they heard the CD, and they said, "Look, this guy is a seminarian. Someone must have presented it to them." And they contacted me to sing the French version.
Oh.
But then I told them I couldn't sing French. I couldn't speak French. So they put me on into the Italian version. I can speak
better
Italian.
Option.
Yeah. So I sang the Italian version, and from there I got to sing on other different stages. So it just started, it happened sort of by chance or by God incidence, we can say.
What would you say is the toughest thing that you do? What challenges you?
Look, one of the most difficult things I think I have to do is always things like funerals. Like on Monday, I celebrate Mass tomorrow. I'm leaving tonight to celebrate weekend Masses in my parish. And then Monday I have a funeral where we're burying a 23-year-old. You know, and it's just something so It's so intense. Mm. It is so intense. And it's not just the funeral, meeting up with the family and the friends and just being there with all these people. So I think, although and this is what I love about the priesthood, is that one day you are with families and you're celebrating the best day of their life with their wedding. And then the next day, and sometimes even on the same day, you're burying someone. And that you're dealing with the worst day of their life. But I think this is, the beauty of the priesthood, the intimacy of being with families, being with people in these significant events in their lives. Mm. And so I think I find that the most challenging, but yet one of the most beautiful things that I get to do.
Yeah, there's such incredible highs of being at something like this and being in front of 3,500 people, and then the incredible lows of being around people who are going through the toughest time in their life on Monday.
Absolutely.
How do you cope with that?
I think it's just the intensity of my life. It works like that. Like last week, I was speaking to 25,000 young people, you know, and then you come here, I'm in front of 3,000 people. Tomorrow, I'm doing 7 a.m. Mass, and there are going to be 40 people. And it's awesome. I think that's awesome. Yeah. But at the same time, it's also, I have to balance myself. And I do certain things to lower the intensity. Mm. Like I have my morning prayer. I pray for an hour every morning. I sit down, whether I'm in my hotel room, wherever I am, I meditate on the Word of God, and I pray, and I just reflect on God. And then very often I get to celebrate Mass by myself because of my travel. And I've celebrated so many Masses in hotel rooms, for example. And I just spend time with the Lord every day. That's one important thing. The second important thing is my exercise. So I train every day. I go to the gym every day. I landed in Adelaide. I went straight to the gym. Yesterday, the gym. Today, I'll go back, even though it will be late, I'll go and do some exercise.
So what gym are you a member of?
I'm a member of Anytime Fitness.
Anytime Fitness. There's a plug for Anytime.
But usually it's in hotels. So
use the free hotel gym.
That's right. So I do a lot of that. Exercise and my diet as well. So I'm very careful with what I eat, because that affects our mood. If we don't eat well, it affects our anxiety. Mm. It affects everything that we do. So I think it's about finding balance where we are. I spend a lot of time on planes, you know, and that's hard. So my bag is heavy. I have nothing except protein powder, protein bars, and everything in there. So I can open a shop everywhere I go. But I just make sure that all my nutrition is kept up.
Yeah, keeping yourself healthy.
Because otherwise, you can burn out if you don't keep yourself.
No, thank you. All right. Well, we're going to throw to, you walk up to the microphone and you can ask Father Rob a question. So let's go for it.
Father Rob, what's it like at your Masses? Do you rock out? It's like in most Masses, it's usually like operas and like big orchestra like things and sort of a little gothic. But at yours, is it all rock guitars and basses? Like it's as fun as...
No.
No?
No, I think one of the things that I do is I work with a community, so we work with the community. I do play songs at Mass sometimes, and one thing I do work on, for example, I lived in Shepparton for 5 years, and one of the things we worked on is getting a band together, youth Mass, getting the musicians there working together. So I think it's about a prayerful experience, and a prayerful experience that is relevant to the community. If I go in and I rock out at every Mass, half the congregation is going to walk out. You know, so it's about walking with the community and being with the community. There are times we have our stronger rallies. Those are the times we rock out. The times we have our stronger retreat and all these. There's a time and a space. But when it comes to liturgy, I think the liturgy deserves all the dignity that it deserves. And we try, and excellence is key. We need to be excellent. But at the same time, it's not about us. It's not about performance. It's always about pointing to the beauty that is happening right there on the altar and among the congregation. So to say that to every Mass is a concert would be, I think I'll end up with just 4 young people on the front row and everyone else out.
Would you say that you're a perfectionist?
I am pretty much, yes. But I'm learning to let go.
Yeah.
As I get older, you learn more and more to let go and to go with love rather than perfection.
Mm. Yeah, come on up.
Hi, Father Rob. What's your favorite thing about the priesthood, and how do you bring I guess, your skills and talents, your personality, and like, yeah, who you are to that vocation?
Look, one of the things, I'll start with the second part. I think one of the most important things I find is that people engage not with the divinity of the priesthood, not with the supernatural part of the priesthood, but they connect with the humanity. And this is one of the things, like, for example, that there's a, I don't know who said this, but the only gospel that most people get to read is you and I. And so this is the way I live my priesthood. I'm not afraid to let my humanity also shine. And that's why I take a gym selfie. And people criticize me and say, why should you take a gym selfie? You're so narcissistic. You're so full of yourself. But at the same time, I think it is so important for people to realize that a priest is also a human being who has normal habits, who enjoys things and who lives a pretty much a normal life. But also the second thing, the thing I love about priesthood is just being with people. I mean, it's tough. When you work with people, it's difficult. It's hard because you try and it's always, you take two steps forward, three steps back, five steps forward, two steps back. But I think it's such an honor and a privilege to work with people and to be involved in, but not only to work with people, but to be the presence of Christ very often. You know, I did the X Factor, and one of the things that I saw about the priesthood there is that the minute I walked into there and all the contestants were there, I represented Christ. Whether I wanted to or not, they saw me in the collar. They saw me as a priest. So they people were coming up to me, Father, can you please say a prayer? I'm so nervous. And I would pray at the end, just before the second round, once at boot camp, I just shouted out, hey guys, I'm going to say a prayer. If anyone wants to come, just come to the side. And all the contestants came. And I'm telling you, there were beautiful people. But among them, among these beautiful people were people who were just had their lives together, others who were messed up. But yet, they saw Christ there. And Christ was present through the priesthood there. And so this is, for me, the most important thing about priesthood, is being Christ wherever I am, bringing the love of God wherever I am.
Hello, Father. Sorry, I've lost my voice with all the screaming. I just wanted to ask you, because you travel so much and you meet so many people, do you feel alone?
Yes. Yes, I think my lifestyle is a very lonely lifestyle. If you spend so much time on the plane, you spend so much time meeting new people all the time, it is a very lonely life. And that's why when I immerse myself very fully in community when I am home. So I have like the stronger youth community, which I cherish so much. And I find so much consolation there. I have friends, priests, friends of mine who I call when I'm in America or wherever. I just have conversation with them. One of the things that really helps me is I have a little dog. His name is Gozo. And this little dog really also helps me a lot. When I get home, I have something and someone so happy to see me. I don't have a wife. But, you know, when I go home, I have this little dog. I'm thinking my next dog I'll call, I'll name, if I have another dog, I'll name it Honey. So when I come home, I can say, Honey,
honey, I'm home.
And it comes running towards me.
Now, is it a Maltese Terrier?
It is. It's partly. Maltese, Shih Tzu, and a miniature Schnauzer mixture. There you go. I put photos of him on Instagram as well.
So why did you become a priest, and was this a hard decision?
I became first of all, it was a very hard decision. Look, I didn't think about priesthood until I was 21 years old. And so the reason I started considering it is because I met this priest in Italy who was just full of life and joy. And I just wanted to be like this guy. That's all. I wanted to be like him. At the time, I had a girlfriend, and it was a serious relationship for 4 years. It was on, and so it was a very, very hard decision. And my father has a big business, and I was going to run that. I had read for a degree in commerce. I was ready, established to start working in my dad's business, and so everything was sorted. And then all of a sudden, I just thought, man, let me just consider this. Let me think about this. And so in discussion with my girlfriend, we ended the relationship for a while, thinking, so let me just discern this. And as I did, I just the joy that I experienced was incredible. You know, I was locked in these four walls of the seminary, but the freedom I felt was just so beautiful because I felt I was in the right place. And in June next year, my ex-girlfriend is getting married, and I'm going to be there at the wedding. So it's something. We're very close friends. So I think this is. It ended up well. So we didn't end up fighting. But it was. I think there's something beautiful, and it worked out beautifully. She's happy. I'm happy. We're all happy.
Nice.
Will you be the celebrant?
I will be one of the celebrants. Yes.
Any others? We've still got a couple of minutes. Yeah, come on up.
You know how life in ministry can be really difficult at times. What's something that gets you through the day?
Okay, so life in ministry is very tough. If you work in ministry, there's nothing more beautiful, but there's nothing more heartbreaking. It's a lonely ministry. It's a time where you feel misunderstood. It's a time you feel betrayed because everyone's supposed to be a Christian. You know, everyone's supposed to be Catholic, but yet they treat you just like anyone else treats you. And it's difficult. Ministry, working in the church, is one of the hardest things you can do. But at the same time, one of the things that I find is my relationship with God. At the end of the day, I'm not here to serve anyone or anything except Jesus. So if I don't pray every day and refocus and say, listen, it's about Jesus, not about people. People, it is about people because they are children of God. So that's one thing, prayer. Two is being able to enjoy ministry as well. Take opportunities to not carry everything with you wherever you go. If I carried all the difficulties with me everywhere I went, I'd be unable to function. So finding people you can speak to, a mentor you can talk to, a pillow you can punch, something. Just find a place that you can sort of take the stress of ministry away. So I'd say those two. There are many things that I do, and as I mentioned, exercise, good food, good diet, and all of that. But I would say, yeah, prayer is key. If you don't pray, then you're wasting your time. And two is having someone you can talk to about, a mentor, someone you can speak to, a spiritual director, about the stress that you're going through.
Maybe one last question. Yeah, sure.
Hi again. Father, like when you, like you're so outgoing and amazing and rocking out, do like any of the priests look down on you for your fun-loving nature?
Look, I find, funnily enough, I find a lot of support from the other clergy, particularly in my diocese. Even among, there's they mightn't hear me here, but the Australian Catholic bishops, and I find a lot of support from them, and because they see, they mightn't agree with the way I do things, but they see the fruit of the way things are done. So by the grace of God, we have three people, two going into the seminary and one already in the seminary from our stronger youth. You know, we have people considering religious life. We have just so much is happening. People, there's a person who was ordained in Brisbane who came out of our ministry as well. You know, there's a person who with the Jesuits, you know, who came out of stronger youth ministry. So there's, they see the fruit of what is happening in vocations, but also young people as well coming to Christ. And so they support that. They mightn't agree with the way things are done. Some are grumpy. By nature, they're grumpy. That's fine. But at the end of the day, they're all very supportive.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Good question. All right, let's give a big, warm round of applause and thank you to Father Rob, who's so busy at this festival. But so great to have 20 minutes of your time to get to know you a bit better. So
thank
once
you.
Again, a big thank you from us.
Thank you.
God bless.
That was a conversation with Father Rob Galea. This conversation is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.